Hej och välkomna till avsnitt 1242 av amerikanska nyhetsanalyser, Sveriges enda konservativa USA-podd med mig, Ronny Berggren. Donald Trump höll igår den 5 december ett kampanjmöte i Valdosta i delstaten Georgia till förmån för de republikanska senatorerna Kelly Loeffler och David Perdue, som båda står inför ett runoff-val den 5 januari mot sina demokratiska motståndare. Ett val som kommer att avgöra vilket parti som får kontrollen över senaten. Här är ett klipp från Trumps tal.
We're gathered here tonight to ensure that David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler win the most important congressional runoff probably in American history. I really believe that. Because at stake in this election is control of the US Senate, and that really means control of this country. The voters of Georgia will determine which party runs every committee, writes every piece of legislation, controls every single taxpayer dollar. Very simply, you will decide whether your children will grow up in a socialist country or whether they will grow up in a free country. And
i detta avsnitt samtalar jag med den amerikanske frilansjournalisten Brendan Gutenschwager, som själv var på plats på kampanjrallyt. Varmt välkomna. Ja, innan ni ska föra en intervju med journalisten som var på plats på Donald Trumps rally, så tänkte jag bara berätta lite kort om vad som står på spel i Georgia. Det är så här att Georgia har två sittande republikanska senatorer, Kelly Loeffler och David Perdue. Kelly Loeffler har suttit i senaten sedan januari i år och David Perdue har suttit i senaten sedan 2015. Men det viktiga är att Georgia har två republikanska senatorer då. Men ingen av de här fick 50% på valdagen den 3 november, och då har Georgia regeln att då håller man ett så kallat runoff-val, och det valet hålls då den 5 januari när deras demokratiska utmanare får utmana dem helt enkelt igen och se då vem som verkligen vinner. Och Kelly Loeffler, hon utmanas av en demokrat som heter Raphael Warnock. Det är en äldre svart man. David Perdue utmanas av en yngre man som heter John Ossoff. Och båda de här två demokratiska utmanarna är liberaler, och ja, skulle de vinna så skulle de utifrån sin egen ideologi driva, ja, demokraterna ännu mer åt vänster då. Men den stora faran här, det är egentligen att om republikanerna, David Perdue och Kelly Loeffler, förlorar, då kommer republikanerna också att förlora sin majoritet i senaten. Just nu leds ju senaten av republikanerna under senator Mitch McConnells ledning då, som är majoritetsledare. Men om de här två senatorerna förlorar, då kommer Mitch McConnell att bli minoritetsledare, och den nuvarande minoritetsledaren som är demokrat, Chuck Schumer från New York, han kommer att bli majoritetsledare. Och där hoppas ju såklart Chuck Schumer på, och han sa så här när det stod klart för några veckor sedan att det var att senatens makten i senaten skulle hänga på utgången av det här runoff-valet, extravalet i Georgia. Då sa senatens minoritetsledare Chuck Schumer så här:
Now we take Georgia and then we change the world.
Yeah!
Now we take Georgia and then we change America.
Och det här uttalandet har såklart använts av republikanerna när de kampanjar för att visa att om demokraterna får makten, om de tar över senaten, då kommer de att styra både senaten, representanthuset och Vita huset. Och då kan de göra vad som helst. Och lyssna på Chuck Schumer, alltså de är galna, de vill göra en radikal samhällsomställning. Och det måste vi förhindra, och därför måste republikanerna till varje pris behålla senaten. Därför att senaten blir den sista bromsen för att bromsa Joe Biden och Nancy Pelosi från att egentligen göra vad de vill nästa år då. Så att det är därför det här senatsvalet är så viktigt, och därför har ju väldigt många engagerat sig. Donald Trump har kampanjat igår, men tidigare så har vicepresident Mike Pence varit där och kampanjat för republikanerna. Barack Obama har varit där och han kampanjade online igår och kampanjade då för demokraterna. Så att alla storpolitiker har verkligen investerat allt just nu i Georgia, därför att senaten avgör så mycket. Ska demokraterna få den fullkomliga makten efter den 20 januari, eller ska republikanerna fortfarande kvar den här handbromsen, så att säga. Så att det är det där valet handlar om. Och med det sagt så följer här en intervju då med en journalist som har varit på plats. Brendan Gutenschwager, welcome.
Happy to be here, thank you.
You know, yesterday President Donald Trump held a rally in Georgia, and I believe it was his first campaign rally since the election. What was the purpose of this rally?
So there's a Georgia Senate runoff race that's going on. Basically, the two sitting senators for the state of Georgia are both up for re-election, since neither of them had gotten 50% of the vote in the November 3rd election. There's now a runoff against their Democratic challengers, And so that election is scheduled for January 5th. Donald Trump is coming down to Georgia to rally with them, to bring out them at this campaign event so that the voters could see them, hear from them a little bit, and then just generally trying to galvanize the base for this Georgia Senate runoff race coming up.
Yeah. You know, since you were on the ground in Georgia, how would you compare this rally to Trump's own rallies during the presidential campaign?
There were definitely a lot of similarities in terms of the setup. I will say the energy was a lot different in that in many of the previous campaign events, you know, those were leading up to the election, so people didn't know what was going to happen with the election. I'm sure, you know, different people had different ideas, but it was all still up in the air. Now, this is including a lot of reaction to the election results, which actually ended up being like a big part of the rally, even though ostensibly it was for, you know, the Senate runoff race, and that was a big part of it too. There was definitely a lot of time spent and devoted at the rally to talking about the presidential election from just the previous months and the crowd reacting to that as well.
You know, Trump's crowds in, you know, in his rallies now and, you know, before, during the election, do they consist of young people, or are they like a mix? Or if you would like to explain a little bit about the crowd, basically.
It's a big mix. I see people of all ages, all races, all walks of life that come to these things. Even from state to state, the different rallies, you'll see just, you know, different variety of people. There'll be some people that travel into different states for the rallies as well. They'll, you know, hop from rally to rally. But generally speaking, yeah, the composition of the people, it's a wide variety of ages and, you know, people that show up to these.
Yeah, all right. This round of election will decide which party controls the Senate, but there is a conflict between the Trump campaign claiming that the Democrats stole the election, even in Republican states such as Georgia, and the Republican establishment of the state of Georgia. Could you describe this conflict between the campaign and the Republican establishment in Georgia?
Yeah, that's been a huge chasm that has opened up in the past month. I've really noticed this, you know, diversion, or basically you have one section of the Republican Party that has accepted the results and are okay with certifying them as they have come in with states like Georgia, you know, and the other ones that have been contesting recently. And then you have another section of the Republican Party, the heavily pro-Trump portion of the party, the ones that support him in many cases over the Republican Party. They love Trump that much that he is their guy. And that section, by and large, has not accepted all these results. They're challenging a lot of them. And that has become a real issue amongst the Republican Party there, especially in Georgia, because you have the governor, Brian Kemp, who is now under fire by a lot of his Republican constituents who are calling for him to resign or for him to be impeached and a whole variety of things. I've heard a lot of people calling for primary challenges to the Republicans that are basically standing by the election results as they are right now. I've heard many saying that, you know, basically if these Republicans are not standing with Donald Trump right here, right now in 2020, then in 2022, during the next cycle of elections, there need to be primary challengers to try to get those Republicans out of office and more pro-Trump Republicans into office instead.
You know, how big is this divide between, you know, the Trump Republicans and the, you know, the other Republicans? But I assume that Brian Kemp is a pro-Trump Republican also. I don't think they're anti-Trump. I assume he voted for Trump.
Yeah, I would assume so too, especially given the campaigning in the state of Georgia and whatnot. It's not necessarily that those other Republicans are anti-Trump. I believe they would still, by and large, support the president. It just has to do with the election results specifically, but because that's such a significant issue, it's created this divide. You know, it's hard to say exactly where it goes because a lot of it depends on what actually ends up happening over the next couple weeks. You know, which side will ultimately prevail on, you know, being more correct on what happened than the other. I will be very, very curious to see if this then, the energy of this carries over 2 years from now, 4 years from now, and these people do indeed create primary challenges against these Republicans. Because if so, you could see a shift in the ideology of the party a little bit, in the sense of, you know, shifting away from more of the moderate, more of the centrist Republicans and towards the right, which would describe more of the people that are calling for these primary challenges. So it's definitely something to be watched. It's still very early on right now, so it's hard to assess truly how deep the divide is and how impactful that will be on a long-term scale. But as of right now, it's been very, very prevalent. It's very noticeable. They were just in Georgia a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, they've been doing it consistently, but a couple weeks ago that I was in person to cover it, protesting right outside of, you know, Governor Brian Kemp's mansion there. And that's a Republican governor, and he is not the only one. Likewise, Arizona, they were also really, really angry with the Republican governor there. So, yeah, it's a big divide that's happening, and we'll see where that leads ultimately.
Yeah, but do you think this division will hurt the Republican Party's ability in Georgia to unite behind, you know, Senator Loeffler and Senator Perdue?
Well, even amongst the people that are challenging the results and are upset with this Republican establishment for not standing with Trump as much as they'd like them to, I do still see all of them fully on board with getting behind these Senate candidates. At the rally, there was an interesting point where when some of them started to speak, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, the audience started to cheer, stop the steal, and fight for Trump. And it almost was like a message to them saying, hey, like, we'll back you guys, but we want to make it clear that we want you to stand with President Trump. So as of right now, I'm still seeing most people, you know, from both sides of this Republican divide still on board and still fighting and still also working on campaigning, getting people registered if they're not already registered or if they're young voters and weren't eligible for the last election but would be for the runoff. I know some people that are going door to door knocking, trying to get Republicans out to vote for January. So as of right now, I would say it probably isn't having too much of an impact on this race specifically, but it'll also depend on how these senators respond to what happens over the next couple of weeks with President Trump, because if they end up doing something that upsets this very pro-Trump section of the Republican Party too much, it is possible that those people could say, we're not going to support you.
Yeah, you know, talking about the election, you know, from abroad, it looks like the American election system is very complicated. And, you know, how secure is it? I mean, you are an American independent journalist. How secure would you say that American elections are? Because I can't remember any election since the election 2000, which has been this contested.
Yeah, I can't remember one that's been this contested either. I would say by and large, it's pretty secure. What has made it really complicated this year is the pandemic and the volume of mail-in voting. And it is so hard to tell how much of that surge in mail-in voting is because of the pandemic or because of just increased voter turnout, increased voter interest in the election and interest in voting for president. And because it's been so different from every other election, you have all these different issues that have come up, some credible allegations, some with less evidence to back them up, and, you know, people calling for investigations by and large, you know, many different states. And that as a whole is very different for American voters. American voters are very used to being able to know sometimes the night of, if not usually within 24 hours of the closing of the polls, who their president is going to be. And already, even with as it was with the news outlets that called it as soon as they did, that didn't come until 3 or 4 days after the election. And that's just not something that a lot of Americans are used to. And so inevitably that creates suspicion. It creates, you know, more room for conflict there. And, you know, I don't know if that actually was a tangible, you know, less secure election then, but there's definitely so many differences that it's hard to look at the election very quickly and just say, oh yeah, it was secure, because it was just so different how this one was performed from every year prior that everybody can remember.
Yeah. Final question then. Will Georgia be occupied by election workers and activists like 24/7 from now until January 5th?
Almost certainly, yeah. I've already seen posts from some of them that, and these are people from out of state, so not people that live in Georgia, that are going down there, and they're basically staying camped out there through January 5th, getting ready to, you know, get people out to knock on doors, register people to vote, as they had earlier, and just generally trying to galvanize the Republican base, as well as independents, if they, you know, come across people that aren't decided on how they want to vote in this election, and really just trying to get people out for this. Because the thing is, it's easy to get people out for a presidential election that also has other things on the ballot. This, you have to get people out specifically for the Senate race and nothing else that'll be on the ballot. So that is going to require more groundwork and more, you know, galvanizing support, although there's a lot of attention on it. So people are probably more aware than they would be ordinarily. But yeah, I think that you're going to see election workers and people from both parties, you know, Republican and Democrat, that are going to be down there hitting the pavement and doing what they can to try to get more support for their party leading up to this election.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for taking time, Brendan. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Det var avsnitt 1242 av amerikanska nyhetsanalyser, en konservativ podcast som finns för att ge det perspektiv på USA som svensk media inte ger. Stöd gärna min gåva på swishnummer 070-30-28-95-0 eller genom att via hemsidan stödja på PayPal, Patreon eller bankkonto. Det var allt för idag. Tack för att ni har lyssnat.